Well, let's turn in our Bibles this morning as we continue our study of Mark. We are going to finish up chapter 1 this morning, so we've only got 13 left. So we have a little more time. Our text this morning is verse 40 to 45, Mark 1, 40 to 45. Mark writes under the Holy Spirit, "A leper came to Jesus beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' But he went out and began to proclaim it freely, to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in an unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as we go to our text this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your word, that you have communicated in a way that we can understand. And we pray this morning as we look at your word and we look at the transforming power of Jesus Christ, that we will once again be amazed by him. And I pray that you will receive all honor and glory. I pray that you will take the truths of this scripture and fasten them to our hearts, that we would either recognize our need for transformation or praise you for the transformation you have given in so great salvation. So may you be glorified in your name. Amen. How many of you like caterpillars? Have you ever bitten into an apple and found a half a caterpillar there? So you didn't like that caterpillar. But we do know this, right? That caterpillars, so at least certain caterpillars, go into a cocoon. And they go into a cocoon and they spend some time in that cocoon. And when they come out, they are completely transformed. There is a complete change in them. And they come out as a beautiful butterfly. And we all like butterflies, right? But what was an ugly caterpillar that was eating all of your vegetables comes out as this beautiful creature, completely, completely transformed. And this morning, really, our text is really going to demonstrate exactly that. There's going to be a man who is completely diseased, completely untouchable, and he will be completely transformed by the touch of the Master. And we will see the transforming power of Jesus Christ to change a life here this morning. And as we look at this text, we're really going to see, first of all, three things. We're going to see the need for transformation, the demonstration of transformation, and actually the purpose of that transformation. And so this morning, as we look, we're really going to see something, this transforming power of Jesus Christ. We're really going to see the gospel story. We're going to see the need for being transformed spiritually. We're going to see that Jesus Christ can do that. And then we're really going to see the purpose for which Christ saves people. And so this morning, it's going to be an exciting time to go through and look at Jesus Christ and to see him work. Now, first of all, this morning as we go, we're going to, first of all, look at the need for transformation. The need for transformation. And so Mark starts at the beginning in verse 40, and a leper came to Jesus. And a leper came to Jesus. Now, leprosy, or the word used here for leprosy, could be used for as many as 7 different skin diseases. So it's a general word. It could be anything from psoriasis to boils to several other diseases. But it appears by what is going on here that this man had what we would call leprosy, Hansen's disease. Now, we got to remember that this is a time in history where there is no medical care. We don't have telescopes. That probably wouldn't help. Microscopes. We don't have modern medicine, and so very little is known about this disease. All we know about this disease is that it is permanent. You get it, and you can't get rid of it. Oftentimes, it starts with sores and white scabs on your skin. It starts to spread wherever it is. The hair turns white, and so you have it starts small and it continues to work its way through your body. It starts with the skin, eventually working to the muscles and the bones. And so to be told that you had leprosy was absolutely devastating, because this is a life sentence. This is not a disease that just goes away. It's not an illness that you can get over. This is something that will be with you till you die. And so to say you have leprosy is like for us when cancer was first discovered or AIDS first came out. It simply was going to be with you and you could not be cured. There was no cure. And it was an awful disease, because it created pain on one side, and yet it was the result of the pain was because it used to dull the senses of pain in your body. So you would become numb in your wherever leprosy struck, so you could feel no pain. Now the problem with that is that pain is actually given to you to protect you. And not being able to sense pain, you're not able to protect yourself. And so lepers would often go around and they would bang their fingers and their toes. They would cut themselves and they wouldn't know about it. And then they would get infections, they would get sores, and they would get all kinds of trouble and swelling that would happen because they couldn't feel where they had leprosy. And so really it was a disfiguring disease. You would end up losing fingers and toes and nose, the pieces of your ears. And so you would, after a while, look like a monster. It was something that was devastating to have. And so you can imagine if you were in the first century and you were told that you had leprosy. You can just imagine the emotional impact it would have on you, because you will have it forever. You are going to be disfigured. And you will probably die not from the disease, but from the complications around it, because you'll get infections or something else, and you will eventually die from it. Well, leprosy was bad as a disease. It was even worse, the consequences of being Jewish and having leprosy. Because leprosy made you unclean. And the concept of clean and unclean is the idea of being able to be in community and worshiping God and not. It's sort of like holy and unholy. And so socially it had a huge impact, because as soon as you were told that you had leprosy, you were declared unclean. And now you were no longer able to be in habitat with other people. You were now cast out. You were not allowed to be in a walled city. You were often kicked out of villages. And so you can imagine the impact of understanding that you had leprosy, because you would lose everything that you've ever had. You would lose your children, you would lose your wife, you would lose your friends, you would lose your community, you would lose everything, because you would no longer be welcome there. And getting leprosy was equivalent to getting a death sentence. And they would actually have, the lepers were required to put ashes over their faces and rip their clothing, almost like a funeral march. And they were like the walking dead. And so you can imagine, you get leprosy, you lose everything. Mom, dad, siblings, everything is gone from you. And now you can't be in contact with them. In fact, you are now required, anytime someone comes near, to yell out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean." And no one can go near you. And in fact, if you get too close, people throw rocks at you. You can no longer even greet people. In the East, they used to what? Hug and give a kiss on the cheek. You can't even greet people anymore. And that is your life. Many of them are reduced to being beggars outside the city. They often congregated together, maybe to help take care of one another. And that is your future. Absolutely devastating consequences of this disease. It's permanent. Your body will deteriorate. And now you are cut off from everyone you love. But that's not the worst part. That's not the worst part. You now are unclean, which means you are now unable to worship. You can no longer go to the temple and give sacrifice. You can no longer go and worship God. You are cut off from worship. You are unclean. You are unworthy. In fact, when you got leprosy, they considered leprosy to be a judgment of God. A judgment of God. So not only were you cut off from the temple, but everybody assumed that God is judging you. Remember Miriam? She murmured against Moses, and what happened? Leprosy. Uzziah, right? I'm going to go in there. I'm going to offer incense to God on the altar. I'm going to do that. What happens to him? Leprosy. So obviously, if you have leprosy, you are what? Under the judgment of God. We might not know what you did, but we know you did something, right? And so you are cut off from worship. You are probably assumed by everybody to have done something that deserves that. And you are cut off. And so you are cut off from God. You are cut off from worship. You are unable to worship anymore. And so your condition is hopeless. Your condition is hopeless. You are a walking dead man is what you are. You are walking with no hope, no restoration possible to man or to God, and you are waiting to die. Now at this point you say, "Pastor, that's just not very nice. You're describing a lot of ugly details there, and we really don't need to know about that really this morning, because none of us have leprosy." Right? None of us have leprosy. So let's just move on to the nicer parts of the text. But I might suggest to you that leprosy is very, very, very much like being under the sentence of sin. If you do not know Jesus Christ here today, you are a dead man walking. You have been given the death sentence that comes with sin. And you are cut off from him. And just look at leprosy. It starts small and it grows. Just like sin in your life. You are sinning and you cannot sin, and you're just like having leprosy. You can't get rid of it. You can't help yourself. You are in deep trouble. You are separated from other people and you are separated from God. Sin, by its very nature, separates people. Have you ever noticed that the farther society goes away from Christian principles, and the less the church is salt in the world, that people are separated? People don't trust one another. People don't cooperate with one another because they assume that everyone is as depraved and lies and cheats and steals just like they do in their own heart. And sin by its nature separates. And pretty soon, just like the tribal warfare that you see out in the jungle, you see the inner city and it's no different. Because sin by its nature separates us. It separates us in our relationships. And ultimately, it separates us from God. And we are hopeless and without ability to save ourselves in this world. And that's what is going on with this man. He's a leper, and he's unclean. And he has no ability to save himself. Well, the good news is there's one who can transform him. There is one who can change him. And just like this man, if we're unsaved here this morning, we're dead in our trespasses and sins, Ephesians tells us. We are without hope and separated from God. But this man, recognizing his situation, recognizing his hopelessness, turns to the one place where he can get help. And so it says he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. Now, this is really an astounding and a shocking statement. Recognizing that lepers were not allowed near people. In fact, they had rules, and depending on who you read, some people will say you had to stay 50 feet away from someone who was clean and 150 or 200 feet if you were upwind from them. Right? And in fact, they would throw rocks at you if you got too close. And so you had to announce it. You had to stay away. You had to make sure that you were dressed like a leper, covered your face, the bottom part of your face, with a veil to keep the fumes from going anywhere. And so here's these people. Here's this man breaking every convention in the book. And you know Jesus. There's a crowd here. And he bursts right down the middle to get to Jesus. It says he came to Jesus, and it says he fell, beseeching him, and he fell on his knees before him. So the man recognizes his helplessness, and he demonstrates humility here as he comes and he falls before Jesus Christ. He falls prostrate before him. It says on his knees. The idea is he fell on his face. And he is beseeching, he is begging Christ. He's not demanding. He doesn't come in there and say, "You need to heal me. I've got a problem here. Fix it." But he comes with humility. And he comes to Christ. And notice the faith that he exercises. Notice what he understands here. And saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean." He doesn't say, "If you are, you know, if you can." He says, "If you are willing." He says, "You can make me." Dunamis. The idea here is the idea of intrinsic power. It's like we talked about before about the man with the big muscles. Okay, he has intrinsic power. You can see his muscles. He has the ability to do it. And this man isn't saying, he's not questioning Christ's ability. He's questioning his willingness. He says, "If you are willing." So the question here is not, can you transform me? Can you cleanse me? but will you cleanse me? And so he comes to the only place that he can. He comes to Christ. And notice he says, can you make me clean? Just as a note in Scripture, lepers are never talked about being healed. They're always talked about being cleansed. Because the greatest problem with leprosy was not the disease, but the separation from God and being unworthy to worship. And so what was important here was to be made what? Clean. So he said, can you make me clean? Can you restore me? And here we see Christ's response. We see a demonstration of his transformation. Mark 1:41. Jesus says, Mark writes, moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. An astounding response. Now, as shocking as it was that this leper would break all the conventions and run through a crowd and get to Christ and fall on his knees before him, is our Savior's response. Compassion. Compassion. Why did Jesus heal this man? Was it because he was humble? Was it because he said the right things? Ultimately, it's because Jesus Christ was compassionate. Listen to that. Jesus Christ had compassion. He felt sorry. He felt pity for him, which moved him to cleanse him. Never believe that Jesus Christ is not willing, able, and for the lost. And when a truly repentant person comes, Christ will have compassion on him. Now it says, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. I mean, now we are breaking all the rules here. Because if you touched someone with leprosy, you were unclean, and you had to spend 7 to 8 days being cleansed before you could be restored to worship. But Jesus is the Son of God. And he is not defiled by that. He is transforming that. See the compassion in the touch? Here's someone who's not supposed to be touched. And Jesus Christ touches him, and he touches the untouchable. That's who Jesus Christ saves. Right? He comes to save those who are what? Untouchable. The lost. Those who are sinning against him. Those who are marred with the leprosy of sin. Just like leprosy made someone reprehensible and disgusting and scary looking, so our sin is disgusting and reprehensible before a holy God. And Jesus says, I am willing. Be cleansed. Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come for the righteous, but for sinners. Jesus Christ has come, and he says he will save what? Sinners. And Jesus is giving us an example here today, and he says, if you are marred by sin, if you are hopelessly lost, Jesus has come, and he has died on the cross, and he has paid the price for sin. He has become sin in our place. And if you will come to him, and if you will humble yourselves, and you will turn to him, he says he will in no wise cast you out. And so Jesus is compassionate for the lost, and he will cleanse those who come. And so this morning, are you lost in your sins? Have you never turned to Jesus Christ? Have you never been transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit? Have you never given your life to Jesus Christ? This morning, we're called to do that. See that Jesus will come. He will accept you. He is not an angry God who is holding back and making it difficult for you to come. He's a compassionate God who sees our suffering and was moved to take care of it. So this morning, will you trust in him? Will you believe? Verse 42, listen to this. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And again, like all of the things that Jesus does, it was immediate. The idea here, it's almost like he's giving human characteristics to this. It fled, it disappeared, it went away. And here is this leprosy. You can almost see him being transformed before your eyes. It's almost as if you could see the leprosy leave him. According to Luke, this man was full of leprosy. So it appears like this man was really marked up. Probably had distorted facial features, hands, feet, and this man is instantly restored. That's the power of the restoration of Jesus Christ. We read about that earlier, right? If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creation. He makes us new. And here is this man who was deformed and sores, and he is completely transformed. Everything back in its place, probably skin like a baby, right? Completely transformed. That's what Jesus does. And he does that for us if we will come to him. He will transform us and make us new creatures in him, and we will be called sons and daughters. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you will come to him, he will give you rest. So this morning, we've seen the need for transformation. We saw the demonstration of transformation. And then we're going to see the purpose for this transformation. Jesus, it says in verse 43, and he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. So the idea here is this is a strong word. He sternly warned him. It's the idea of flared nostrils, angry. It's like for a wild horse who is upset and is moving. And his nostrils flare. And Jesus sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. This is another strong word. Like Jesus is adamant, he is strong, he is in his face, he warns him, and he this word for to go away is the idea of the same one that we use for dispelling demons. He kicked him out. Get out of the crowd. Off you go. Sending you off. Don't stay here. And he gave him two commands. See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing, what Moses commanded. He said, here's two things. Don't tell anybody what's happened to you. Keep your mouth shut. Go show yourself to the priest and do what you are supposed to do according to what Moses commanded you. Now we're going to see that the man didn't obey. Far from it. But Jesus said, I want you, first of all, not to tell anyone, and then go show yourself to the priest. Now, why would he do that? Why would he tell him not to tell anybody? Well, there could be several reasons. There could be simply because Christ knew that every time he did miracles, everybody heard about it, everybody came, and he couldn't move about. We remember from last time that his ministry was preaching. And so he needed to send the message of the gospel, the message of the kingdom, and he needed to go to different places and give that. And if he was known as a miracle worker, that would impede him. But I think probably more to the point here is what he tells him to do. But go, show yourself to the priests and offer your cleansing, what Moses commanded. And so he says, I want you to go and show yourself to the priests. Now, what does that involve? Well, normally this was a two-stage process. First of all, you would go. Actually, the priest was supposed to come out of the community, outside the walls of the city, and he would look at the leper to see if he had any leprosy. And if he didn't, he would take two birds. And he would take the one bird, and he would kill it. And he would place the blood of that bird on the wings of the bird that was alive and release the bird. And this bird would then fly away with this blood dripping off of its wings. And it was a great picture that cleansing comes through blood. Blood. And so this man would have a picture that blood was necessary for cleansing. And now he would be restored to the community. He would be restored and be able to come back into the community. And so it is by the blood of Jesus Christ that we are restored to God. And then he was also to go to the priest, and they would take oil and they would anoint all the parts of his bodies like they would as they consecrated a priest. And the idea here is that he is now restored to service and worship of God. And so this man would be restored back to the community and back to worship with God and service to God. And ultimately, that is the end of our salvation, is it not? That we are restored to God and we are restored to his service. But why would he want him to go and be cleansed like this? Wasn't Jesus, after all, the Son of God? Couldn't he just do whatever he wanted? Well, he says here in the end of the verse, as a testimony to them. Who's them? Well, this had to be done by the priests. It had to be done by the priests of Jerusalem. And who was running Israel's religion? The priests in Jerusalem. And so Jesus is sending this man not just to be restored to community, not just to be restored individually so he could worship, but he is sending him as a testimony to the priests in Jerusalem. And he is sending someone who he has healed or cleansed and removed the leprosy. And he wants this man to go to the priests so that they can testify that what Christ has done is real, that this is a true miracle, that this is a true work of God. And so Christ is ultimately here demonstrating to the priests who he is. This is one of the marks that he said in Matthew 11:5. He said, this is the mark of being the Messiah. In Matthew 11:5, he says this. He said, go report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And John is asking the question, are you the one? And Jesus says, yes, I am. And so Jesus' purpose here in restoring this man was not just about this man, but it is primarily about demonstrating who he is. He is demonstrating who he is. I am the Messiah. I am the one who was to come. And Christ wants this man to go to the priests so that they have a chance to believe or reject him. This is what I want you to do. because ultimately these leaders will be responsible for Israel's acceptance or rejection of their Messiah. And so he says to them, here's your chance to believe. This is why I have healed this man, is so that you might know who I am. Now, this man mistook the purposes of God because he decided that it was time for him to be a trumpet. It says here that he went out and began to proclaim it freely. The idea is he was making public proclamation. He began and kept on doing it, and he was making announcements. Not only did he proclaim it freely, but he spread the news around. So the idea is he spread it by word to everyone. So if you were sitting in the coffee shop, you would hear, you couldn't help but overhear what he was talking about. If he was in the market, that was the first thing on his conversation list. And he told everyone about it. Now, at first you might think, well, that's pretty admirable. He's excited. Look what Christ has done for him. But the mark of a disciple is what? Obedience. Obedience. And this man is out there telling everyone about what Christ has done. Now, you might say that seems admirable. I mean, really? But that's not what God's purpose was. That's not what Christ's purposes was. Then he says this. The news spread around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. And now really what you have is a reversal, don't you? Now Jesus is the outcast in the outward parts, and now the leper is what? Restored. And they have switched places. Really a picture of what Christ has done for us, right? He took our sin. We gained his righteousness. Now, one thing I want us to understand this, that salvation is not primarily about you. Your salvation is not about you, and it is not about sinners who are being transformed. It is not primarily for your comfort. It's not primarily for your benefit. Now, you are a means to an end, and you get the benefit of it. But God's purposes in salvation are not about the sinner, but about his own glory. That's why he says he gives forgiveness for sin for what? For his glory. He saved us, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, for the glory of his what? Grace. Everything about salvation leads back to the glory of God. God says, I want my glory. I will not share my glory with any others. I will not give it to anyone. And he saves sinners ultimately for him. And so salvation is not about making your life better. It's not about making you satisfied or fixing your mortgage or fixing your relationships. It is ultimately about the glory of God. And so when we go about our salvation, we must understand that we are not the primary purposes here, but we were saved to give glory to God. And therefore, you need to live a life that is equivalent to what you've been saved to, which is to glorify God and live in obedience to him. And you cannot present the gospel to people, and you cannot give them the true gospel unless you understand that the end of the gospel is God and his glory. So don't bring people to Jesus Christ telling them that he will fix them. The ultimate end of the gospel is the glory of God. And so this morning we see the transforming power of a compassionate Jesus Christ who can take those who are hopeless, who are separated from them, and restore them to himself. And he does it for his glory. Let us worship this God. Let us bow before him and praise him and love him for what he has done and for who he is. And this morning, if you are not his, look to him. Look at your miserable condition. Look at the wrath that you are under. Look at the position that you are in. And come to him, because he will have compassion upon you, and he will transform you as you come, recognizing that you have nothing to offer, that it is only by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross that you can be saved. Repent of your sins, turn to him. He will transform you, and he will get the glory. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are again amazed by you. The plan of redemption, you say that you have set it out to demonstrate your wisdom, Ephesians chapter 3, and that ultimately even the angels in heaven will worship you because they will see your wisdom and redemption of the church. So, Heavenly Father, may we never forget that you are the center of everything, that you receive glory for salvation, that you are the one who transforms, and you are the one who has compassion on the helpless sinner. I pray that we will always give this message to others, and that we will always praise and glorify you for what you have done. In your name, amen.